the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, welcome to another Wednesday rip of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. My name is Joey. I'm going to be joined shortly by Frank Holmes, Hive Blockchain. You know him, you love him. We've had him on the show. He was just a speaker several times, actually, at the Canadian Bitcoin conference. So we're looking forward to talking to him about what Hive has going on. They're doing some interesting things, having pivoted away from Ethereum mining, obviously, with a number of GPUs on board. Interesting times over there. A company that you may not agree with everything in their strategy, but you have to say that they've differentiated in a way that not many other miners have, and obviously maintained a pretty high level of productivity and are still alive after a prolonged bear market, rate hike cycle, monetary contraction, et cetera, et cetera. So looking forward to talking to him. I'm just waiting for him to arrive here. In the meantime, though, as always, sponsored by two great companies here on the CBP. One is EasyDNS. We love Mark, the team over there. They got everything you need. If you want to host your content in a way that's uncensorable, they got everything. You can bring your website over there, host your domain. You can buy a domain through them if you don't have one yet. You can bring over your email if you want. You can get stuff for your virtual private server. So that's your Noster client, your BTC Pay server, you name it. They got everything there for you, as well as, of course, the team to help you bring all of your content and information over as well. So all that stuff said, you can use our code CBP Media, or just tell Mark we sent you, and he'll give you 50% off your initial purchase, which is great. I know a bunch of you have done that already, including, I think, a couple of nifty projects. I predict that we will wind up having companies who started watching the CBP, became EasyDNS customers, and then produced a product that people in the Bitcoin space are going to like. I predict we'll have them on the show inside of, let's say, 10 months. So a little early next year prediction for you. Second sponsor, oh man, goes without saying, Bull Bitcoin, you know, okay? mission.bullbitcoin.com/CBP. You get $20, 21, I should say, on your first $100 buy. And it's the best place to get KYC free Bitcoin. In fact, one of the things I want to talk to Frank about tonight is this difference between KYC and no KYC Bitcoin, and what the cost differential should be, and some of the hurdles that he thinks, you know, might come from what Hive thinks is a good business model, this idea that you can sell clean corn for a little bit more. He may be right. I don't know. But at Bull Bitcoin, they don't sell it for a little bit more. They sell it for about the same price as they do any other buy, which is great. So head over there, barely any fees. You can pay your bills over there. Not that you want to spend your Bitcoin, but if you do, if you're living on the standard already, this is the place for you. And obviously Francis and team, we met them at the conference as well. Incredible group of guys doing a lot of good work, and we're big supporters of them and have been for some time. So we hope to give both those customers a shot. And with that, I was going to say, let's bring in Frank, but he's not here yet. So I'll just be here talking to myself. I kind of want to go through maybe the recent Hive news releases with everybody just before we start to see what exactly they've been up to. And I think there's been some fun stuff there and some stuff that you may be surprised about. So obviously the name change is one I'm pulling up here for those who are just listening on audio, the June 2023 production update. The thing that Hive's been doing, I would say, that, you know, may differentiate them a little bit from the competition is they've bought in the past a number of what they call sort of high-end, I think I've heard Frank call them blue sky type chips. And what they've done with these chips is they've in the past mined Ethereum, obviously. And, you know, now they're using them. I still think in some regard, at some capacity to mine what we would call shit coins, but trade them for Bitcoin. And, you know, I don't know how I feel about that strategy. I think it's better than gaming, which I think Hut 8 is doing, and some other kind of, I don't know, not great applications, some other applications that are not that easy to continue to perform on a longer time horizon. The one thing, though, that I find interesting is they're using AI to predict and map out which coin and the duration for which they should run their hardware at the algorithm, mining algorithm for that coin. I think that's pretty cool. I like AI broadly, not only because I kind of think it's nifty, but also, I mean, we talk about it quite a bit on the other show on Axis of Easy. And one of the things that gets me every time is how quickly this thing is evolving. When we first started talking about that, and many of you know this as well, just from your time in Bitcoin, on Bitcoin Twitter, and maybe just, you know, if you're a millennial, you're interested in tech. One of the things that's been interesting is the stories about AI and the rapid speed with which they're developing and complexifying. If you look back, you know, 8 months ago, 9 months ago, some of the original ChatGPT stuff was insane, right? You'd be generating text, all that was wrong or hallucinated. Even like some of the Midjourney photos, if you remember, early Midjourney photos were terrible, and you couldn't get a token to use the service. You had to join a Discord and hope there was a gap in usage rate and stuff like that. These guys, you know, whether you agree or disagree with the strategy, I think one of the big things is that they were able to predict, at least in my view, before AI was really big in the kind of broader ether, that even if Ethereum went POS, which of course it did about, you know, 9 months ago or 8 months ago, I don't know exactly how long, but even if Ethereum went POS, they could use these chips for something else, which is important. And one of the difficult things about being a Bitcoin miner, obviously, is you don't really know, especially if you're mining stuff that's not Bitcoin, you don't really know where those algorithms are going to go. And so one of the, to me, you know, great moves that Hive made, that Frank and the team made, was knowing they'd have a use for these, this hardware a little later on. Great. You can see here, this is their overview of their mining production over the last, you know, quarter or so. Ended the month with 3.48 exahashes. That's the end of June. 8.6 Bitcoin a day and 259 Bitcoin for the month. That's pretty good between ASIC and GPU mining operations. So as I mentioned there, they're combining the two into one metric, but they're actually using their GPU miners to grab other tokens, trade them for Bitcoin, and then keep sending them through, keep adding them to their stack, right? And they've released as well in the past, wish I could find it here. It may not be on this release, but they've talked about in the past how many Bitcoin they have on their balance sheet, which is great. We obviously on the show, Len and I, have a bit of disagreement about Bitcoin in the balance sheet, but as global adoption grows, you'll be able to use it at the very least to grab loans and do CapEx and stuff like that, which is great. What else do they have here? They have some commentary about how Bitcoin mining is volatile. And actually, I've heard Frank talk about that. I hope that he does show up. Otherwise, it'll just be me and Len talking about this. But one of the things that he's discussed is that the mining volatility really is difficult sometimes for people like Hive. And what we've seen is that in the past, miners, especially during significant difficulty adjustments, have a hard time either buying hardware and finding rack space, and then the lag in getting that stuff online causes them problems, both in terms of their mining output and in terms of their financial kind of buoyancy, right? How many times have we talked about on the show during bull markets, companies leveraging technology, leveraging buildings, leveraging assets to get more hardware, get more rack space, then by the time they get it, the price is on a downswing. It's difficult to predict this stuff, but it seems to me, like I mentioned in the intro, that Hive is doing a pretty good job. So I would like to ask them about that. It's interesting as well. They're a company that has really embraced ordinals. You know, on the show, there's probably not, we're not the most positive on ordinals, but I'm not running a company that relies on mining fees. So I understand why Frank and team are out there talking their book is fair to say, on ordinals. They also talk about uncommon sats. And this is one thing that I really don't understand at all. This idea that some sats, if they're closer to the beginning of one of the 21 million Bitcoin, or, you know, they're a weird block height, or something significant happened. You know, if you get one of the sats that was announced at the same time that, I don't know, BlackRock announced this ETF or whatever, right? If it's mined in the same block at the same time, same block height, then it's unique in some way. This may be the case for some people. I personally don't view this as something that has value, but if you know, you're one of these people who collect stuff, and there's a lot of good Bitcoiners who do, like I think of Huddle D, who may not collect, you know, unique sats, but definitely does, you know, did or does the ordinals thing. I get it. It's just not for me. And I think that as global adoption increases, there's going to be less and less, need to grab a little on the top based on the uniqueness of a sat or an ordinal or whatever. And Steve in the chat saying it's easy to make it in the bull market. You have to budget the company to succeed based on bear market conditions. I totally agree. And I think that, you know, in my opinion, Hive has done that clearly. I think we're kind of cooking here a little bit with these guys. So I'm going to bring in Len since Frank is still not with us. Len, I'm just talking about uncommon sats. Have you watched a lot of Frank's recent interviews? I watched a few today and yesterday, and I was going to ask him. I hope he still comes. I don't know if there's some confusion on their end, but I hope he still comes. So I want to ask him about this idea that they think that uncommon sats are like a legit sustainable revenue stream. I don't know that that's the case, especially as less and less of these things are mined and as adoption goes up. Like, I just don't see how that's possible. I'm not sure.
I don't have much of an opinion on this because I haven't read into it or haven't even put too much thought into it.
I'll give you the long and short. What they think is that, let's say you have a Satoshi that's mined at around the same time, like a significant event in Bitcoin happens. Like if the US government decides tomorrow at block height, you know, 800,000 or whatever, they're going to start backing the dollar with Bitcoin, a la RFK or whatever he said yesterday. The Satoshi's mined at the same time the White House makes the announcement, have some extra value for some reason. I personally don't think that's the case, but I don't. But then again, I'm not the one he says that they're selling them for a significant jump in value. So I don't know. Is that like, what do you think about that? I almost don't even have to ask you. I kind of know what you think already.
It's a collectible thing. So if somebody's going to deem these things to be collectible and they're going to pay a premium for it, so be it. I'm not part of that camp, but if there are some people in it, so be it. I don't think that's going to be enough to drive up the price of certain sats to be to a point where it's, you know, marketable or advantageous to own it. So this is just one off. But you know what, Joey, to not let this one just go to waste, because this past week you were away, of course.
Yeah.
And hope you're nice and recharged, ready to go. I certainly am. I only take 10 minutes to get recharged, dude. It doesn't take very much to get recharged.
I literally, for people who are not watching, I texted Len before the show that I wasn't sure if we were on track to have the interview tonight. And he goes, if you need me, I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Normally, fiat mining lately has been a challenge for me. It's been a slog. And so in the evenings, I tend to go for nice long walks. And I did so again tonight just to collect my thoughts. And sometimes I just stew in them, because of what's going on with the...
I like where this is going. I like where this is going.
You know, the wayfaring Bitcoiner did a phenomenal job.
He did.
But because of his proximity in the world, we didn't do Clown World North. I think this might be a good opportunity to rehash what was missed last episode.
Let's rip it, baby. Let's go. If Frank comes, we'll derail Clown World North. But if he doesn't, we got lots of content. Let's do it. Special bonus CBP.
Yeah, well, this is a... Canada committed so far more than $8 billion to Ukraine. Now, before I get into that, I even forgot something. Remember, this is all satirical. It's all jokes. We don't mean anything. This is comical. So don't come after us, because we're just making fools of ourselves and making fun of just about everything out there, including us. But anyways, Canada's committed more than $8 billion to Ukraine since the invasion back in 2022. So that's a pretty good chunk of money. And they're just going to continue doing it this, because another $450 million is going to be committed to the efforts over there. Now, when I see this, and I can see this from two points of view. Number one, you have this invading army that, you know, we want to protect this sovereign nation out there that is being invaded by, as I mentioned, an army, right? And where would they stop? Would they then trample Poland and even go further west? Who knows? Maybe Germany would be a target. Could be shades of World War II. I do not know. I guess in this case, the reverse. But then on the flip side, you know, you go look what's going on in Canada, and you see so many things out there that some would call wrong. And I'm not talking about, you know, maybe certain things, but just look at homeless, for instance.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't have to travel too far if you live in a major city center to encounter homeless, and you can see people out there that just need attention. They need help. They need something. And so it's sad to see that money is being sent over to foreign people to fight a foreign war that is so far away from our borders. But there's people here in Canada that are fighting their own battles that are not getting looked at. You know, maybe they're fighting a battle in their head, and it's really sad. And, you know, I see this kind of stuff. And like I say, this is part of it that just when I go out for my walks, I just stew in my thoughts and I'm wondering, why do we keep doing this? It's just, it's,
yeah,
it's probably the wrong way. There's, if there's an infinite amount of money, yeah, do it all, but there's not. And the reason why there's not, just look around, you know, infrastructure is failing. People are homeless are out there. Like, there's so many things we could just rhyme off. It's just, it's fucking sad, man.
There's a ton of good Canadian content from the last 2 days, given that CPI was out. And also, you know, I don't know if you watched Macklem's press conference last week. It was after the flagship. I think it was Wednesday afternoon or Tuesday afternoon. I've never been so embarrassed to be a Canadian, watching him. And I don't know who the woman is, but, try and parry questions from reporters.
Something Rogers, who, I think.
Yeah. Carolyn Rogers. Yeah. Sorry. She's the,
deputy
minister or deputy, chairperson,
governor,
whatever. Watching them try to parry questions from reporters who clearly came prepared given the recent communications from the sitting government as far as what the message was from the Bank of Canada. What we're seeing is families have extra savings they're using to buffer themselves against recession. Okay, Tiff, we think that's bullshit because the government just gave out, you know, to somewhere between 11 million and 20 million Canadians grocery rebate because they're living at or below $32,000 of income per year. So clearly that's not true. Okay, Tiff, the inflation rate's too high, but if you take out mortgage interest, which, you know, makes about 30% of the inflation count, you're under your 2.5 target. You know that you're the one who decides inflation interest. Oh, well, we didn't like the rise in the housing market. Okay, but Tiff, like, you're the one who sets the rate. Why is the housing market still going up if you keep raising rates? Well, maybe it's because we're letting in 1 million people a year. That's the first time I've heard him say that so blatantly during one of those press conferences. And I'm not
the first person saying that. Yeah, it's crazy. Imbalances in the housing market. That's a pretty damning statement.
That's an indictment. That's an indictment of federal policy and potentially provincial policy as well as far as resettlement goes. So, you know, to your point about where are we spending our money? Well, you know, in terms of housing starts, Len, they're at a, you know, a 5-year low. I think Ron Butler tweeted out the other day, friend of the show, Ron, tweeted out the other day that housing starts are at a, you know, 2018 levels. Well, immigration is 4 times that or 3 times that. And, you know, when you think about the number of dollars, about 31% of all new starts in Ontario at least go to the government through taxes or levies or fees or whatever, licensing, you know, the house price is going to stay high, boys and girls. Like, it's not that hard to figure this out. And when I see, you know, another billion, half a billion, 300 million, 200 million, 100 million, whatever, for grocery rebates, for education handouts, for, you know, climate rebates. I got my $200 from the climate rebate. I dumped it right into Bitcoin right away. No hesitation. Like, these are inflationary measures in every conceivable universe. Giving somebody $200 who doesn't need it is inflationary. I bought an Xbox last week. It's inflationary. Like, if I have extra money, I blow it on shit that I don't need unless I'm, you know, buying Bitcoin with it. But even me, I'm like, how much can I really buy, man? Like, and so I think about people as well. I've said this before to some resistance on Twitter and some resistance in my friend circle, but I don't care. I'm fully embracing this Isaiah's job, never water down the message stuff that Francis and the remnants talk about all the time. If you give people who have proven to you that they are either unwilling or unable to work because of their own decision-making in the past and lack of discipline, if you give them money for quote-unquote groceries and they're not starving, they're going to blow it on something stupid. Period, end of story. And I know maybe not every single person is like that, but it's a fucking high number, man. And this idea that this is anything but a monster vote-buying campaign at the cost of worse and worse and worse, more and more persistent quote-unquote inflation that the Bank of Canada can keep pointing to lean on people with interest rate hikes, I think is nonsense. And it's frustrating to see. You're right. That's a huge disappointment for me. And living in Hamilton, you know, I'm not sure what it's like where you are, Len, but in Hamilton, I see more and more people talking about tent cities and more tent encampments all over the place. To add insult to injury, again, like, I don't want to go too much of a tear here because I feel like this would be a good, you know, Clown World North moment for the show next week, the flagship, but
this is old news.
This isn't. Toronto councilors today debating banning two-stroke lawn appliance motors because they want to fight global warming. Are these people fucking stupid? What else can you possibly say about a group of people who has literally hundreds, if not thousands, of new immigrants living on the street, thousands, if not tens of thousands, of homeless, an impossibly difficult housing situation, a growing, what I think is being called a rent strike in their city. This is what they're talking. These people don't care about you, man. They're either stupid or lying when it comes to what they think is important. And to me, I mean, talk about stewing. Here I was ready to talk about AI strategies and cloud computing tonight. And now here I am going downhill. This is fucking insane, man. And you know, when you start talking about end of empire stuff, I would love to hear somebody give me a better example than literal Rome burning outside your window and you deciding whether or not you should ban two-stroke weed whackers and two-stroke lawnmowers. It's completely batshit, as I said today. It's completely batshit.
It's to appease a certain segment of the population. And I used to live in Toronto, and I lived there for the first 28 years of my life, in fact. So the no, I mean, I enjoyed it, and I learned a lot for doing so. And so the people living closer to the downtown core, they're the ones, if you actually read the articles and read this, they're the ones that are looking to have this ban. Because if you're living, in, not really a suburb, but you're living outside, if you're living in North York, you're living in East York, you're living in Scarborough, you're living in Etobicoke, where you have a lawn, where you have a little bit more out there than just living in a box in the sky, which we are doing downtown for the most part, you are going to probably use something like this. It's either going to, you know, these two strokes are electric type thing for the weed whackers, but that's what they use. So it's just appeasing the certain people that are the council is trying to appease. And it's sad. And that's just the way things are. Toronto itself, it's unique too. Remember, they're the only city in the province of Ontario that have the ability to raise taxes and raise money through levies like that.
Yeah.
I don't think any other city has that ability. It was through the Toronto Act, if I recall correctly. This is going back a couple of decades now. And so it gave them a lot of new abilities. And they did it when they actually put the new home ownership tax. So if you buy a home in Toronto, you pay the land transfer tax, not just to the province, but also to the city as well. So it's an extra tax. So it's double. But still, the price of everything is going up in terms of homes. I guess to a degree.
But this is part of the problem, right? Like everyone's trying to get their cut. And as the piece of the pie that government takes grows, the other pieces of the pie have to grow with it. And so these guys are just making bigger pies. And like that's a huge part of the problem. Like I
there's so much wrong.
Yeah.
There's so much wrong. They raised rates again this past week.
We got to get Ron back on the show. He's honestly a favorite of mine on Twitter. He has his own podcast now, which sometimes I got to say is like a little bit off the rails, but he's such a knowledgeable guy and he's not afraid to tell it like it is. And if you want to know how bad stuff is, you should go back to the podcast we did with him last year around this time. Actually, I think I booked him while I was at the cottage and then we did the show maybe a couple of weeks later. So I recommend people go back and look at that to see how bad things were then and how he told you then that things were going to get worse. And, you know, clearly here we are, right? If you don't have a house now, geez, like I can't imagine. Well, difficult times, man.
I get a lot of tweets in my timeline now about people that are selling homes taking a massive haircut, several hundred thousand dollars, just because everything has gone up, including servicing and your homes. Also on assignment, the people that bought pre-construction, they have no way to close.
Yeah.
So they're selling, not I'll say en masse, but at a higher rate than they were at any time for the past decade or so. I'm not sure percentage-wise, even with absolute numbers. So they raised their rates again last week, right? Another 25 basis points. Now they're sitting around 5%, I think, is the overnight lending rate from the Bank of Canada.
Yeah.
So they do this, and you know, people are already struggling. There a lot of people, they can't make ends meet. In fact, there was an article I saw that there's a number of Canadians, more than half, in fact, sorry, that are $200 away or less from not being able.
That was to pay another thing they raised at the TIFF presser. You're right, I forgot that one. Great catch.
So $200, and that's more than half of Canadians, and they raise rates again. So I would assume that those people there, they have credit cards, they have home equity line of credits, they have mortgages or any sort of debt, maybe even payday loans, who the heck knows. And they go out there, and to top it all off, it's incredible because the Bank of Canada, after let's be honest, they're here to steward the economy. They're here to not fuck things up, right? Like,
it's supposed to be, yeah.
You are basically given a job to ensure that things don't fuck up. Now, it's up to you, listener, viewer, to decide if they indeed fucked up. I'm not going to say if they have or have not. But what they have done, this is factual, they gave themselves a bonus last year for the last year's work that they've done in 2022 to the tune of $27 million they paid themselves. Now, I ask yourself, did they do a good enough job to warrant the fact that they should have been paid in total $27 million to divide up amongst their 2,200 employees? This averages to $11,000 per employee that was paid. Now, you could even take this a step further. You could really go into the weeds. Did they fuck up the economy? I'll leave you to decide. Is this overpayment? I'll leave you to decide. But is this really a reflection of what is inflation? This might be it. Because how much do you think these people are making? If they're earning, say, $100,000 a year, that's about 10% of their salary is given to them in bonus. So that is that equation of what is the actual inflation versus the 2.8 that was reported just a few days ago. There's so much you could look into this. And you're giving yourself money that you just go down to the basement, print it, put in your pockets and go home. But who pays for this in the end? It's everybody.
Yeah.
And you look at that.
This is, by the way, the perfect example of the Cantillon effect, what you're describing here.
And it drives me absolutely bonkers. It's almost, this is the let them eat their cake or let them eat their cake moment, because they have the ability to do whatever they want. They have all these levers they could pull to change the monetary policy and to change the way course of action monetarily is for Canada. Then they have the ability to create money and then pay themselves. What a perfect gig.
Incredible.
You know, ultimately they fuck up, maybe they pay themselves.
It's just that we have a podcast where literally every week we talk about how fucked the economy is, but you decide, listener, viewer.
Yeah. And then they pay themselves, factual, and then they're probably gonna do it again. You don't think they're gonna get paid again this time again next year? Instead of 27 million because of inflation, it's gonna be 35. But they'll still say inflation is only 2.5% at that point.
Well, remember we talked about back in the day, like to your point about what the actual inflation number is. What was the, like, at the risk of stepping on thin ice here, what was the MP raise? Was it not like 13% or 18% or something like that? It was super high last year.
Did they have were they frozen for some time? I'm not sure. Was that MPP?
I gotta look. MP.
I can't remember. 2021. I think one of the two, either Ontario MPPs or federal MPs, had a frozen salary for some time. So I don't want to say that they are due for it, but, you know, maybe if you're stuck for, like, you know, 5 years to a decade of being frozen, you know, I could understand why they would vote themselves in some sort of raise. Just sucks, though.
I got to look. I can't find it here, but we did talk about this before. I mean... It could have been even the U.S. Legislators that gave themselves that raise. I think that, so in the spirit of Neil Howe's fourth turning being released yesterday, you probably saw that a million times over the last 24 hours if you're on Twitter. It's worth mentioning that one of the things that the fourth, you know, any fourth turning requires is for people to kind of come to their senses all at once and cross some threshold of informed citizenship, right? Some number of citizens becomes informed enough that they, you know, to quote a great poet, are not going to take it anymore. And I wonder if we're getting there, honestly. One of the things I noticed about the BOC press conference the other day is that they have the comments turned off on every channel, including all the news networks in Canada that are running it, the BOC's official YouTube channel. So they're joining really every central bank in that regard. And I think that that's, you know, what we should have said. You and me have been talking about this for some time on this show and on Access of Easy, how one of the leading indicators that things are going sideways is that you prevent people from communicating about how they feel about the policy in domains where everyone would be somewhat informed or looking to become informed by someone who wasn't the key messenger on the topic. And so you saw that on Twitter during the election. You see it on YouTube with all these videos. And I think you also see it now, Len, in some workplaces. What do you think?
So or is it me?
I think it's you. I don't see the Wi-Fi thing.
Last little bit of what you said.
You're not really coming through anymore. Maybe someone in the chat can tell us what's going on. I'm hardwired in. I hope it's working.
Yeah. Oh, then it is me. It's my side. I don't know what to say. I missed the latter half of what you were asking and what you're saying.
I just think that if people are asking, yeah, it says lens in the matrix. That's okay. You're back now. The thing I was just saying is that a sign that things are going sideways, obviously, is that people can't communicate with others in the domain where the message is being sent, right? And you see that more and more. Now the Bank of Canada is joining the ranks. You know, you can't talk about this stuff. And I think that more and more places are trying to get ahead of this sort of policy mistake. And I'm worried that, you know, people are going to be upset. I also, you know what I want to know? One of the things I remember studying in school during this course I had about the rise of China was China's always very worried, let's say, or observant of their youth unemployment rate. What is the Canadian youth unemployment rate, you think? Is it like high enough that we're nearing, you know, problems with...
Define youth.
I don't know, say under 30, under 25. I don't know. What is it? How do people define
youth? You're talking about any job?
I would say underemployment counts too. Let's say, what is the percentage of people under 30 who got that bonus for groceries?
probably a large percentage.
You know, think about it, right? They can't live. They can't buy a house. They can't eat. They're stuck with their parents. And I just think, like, what do those people have going for them? Like, when are they going to either vote populist, right? Whether it's Paulie Evers or someone else, or when are they going to hit the streets, stop paying rent, stop, you know, start stealing groceries? You can't tell me the stuff in San Fran is all drug abuse related. It's part of it. But as someone who works in the addiction sphere a little bit, I'll tell you that drug addiction often is not the first symptom of the problem. The first symptom of the problem is poverty. And poverty leads to many, many things. You do desperate things when you're not eating, as we talked about on the show. And the more people that are at that threshold, you know, that's when you start to get these looting videos, right? And we've been lucky not to have any in Ontario yet. But how far are we, I wonder? I'm not sure.
I'll tell you anecdotally how bad things are. Now, granted, this is not taking into segment the younger generation. I saw today when I was out for my walk, a gentleman, must have been 40s or 50s, driving in a Tesla Model 3. Nothing crazy about that. But what was he doing? Yeah. Uber Eats. He was delivering Uber Eats. So,
man, you know, think he just wants to make car. Friends, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, those are not cheap cars to begin with. Maintenance, like the running costs, are rather low. But still, you know, people are trying to find any sort of side gig that they have, either officially or unofficially, to try to make ends meet. Eventually, that market's going to get saturated. And you're not going to be able to find anybody to fill any gaps, or the saturation will cause the payments, the wages for those type of jobs to plummet, and it's not worth it for people to do. And then you've got a real problem on your hands, and then people won't have any way aside from selling a kidney or a lung to make ends meet, but you only have so many of those that you could sell.
Plus, you need the lung with all the smoke in the air. You want to hit one more Clown World North story? You got another one cooked up from the flagship? We can wrap it up.
No.
I'm moving. My wife's upstairs throwing stuff in boxes. I should probably go back and join her. That's what I was doing before I came down here. So,
and here you are, an impromptu show. Hope everybody enjoyed this. And by the way, I'm gonna get it. Hang on a sec.
Sure.
Sats card. So this guy is gonna be loaded up. This particular one, in fact, is gonna be loaded up with some Bitcoin. I'm gonna show the other side too. There it is. Just trying to hide the stuff that is you don't want to see, or else you could steal the Bitcoin from this. $100 of Bitcoin is going to be loaded up on this. So this wonderful Sats card from CoinKite, these are awesome products. It's going to be loaded up from Bitcoin from both us and Bull Bitcoin. Yep. So if you want to get this, you want this sent to you, join our Discord, be part of our Discord as late as Sunday midnight. Is that what it is? Yeah. Sunday midnight Eastern.
Yeah, sure.
And
sure.
That's the cutoff. And if you're in the Discord, you're in the draw.
I'll even say this. Be there by Sunday night, midnight Eastern. But if you're there Monday when I wake up to do the number wheel, the name wheel, then you're lucky. If you get in there before like 8 a.m., you're probably okay.
Yeah, okay. That's even giving a little bit of a stretch here. But also, to actually win it, you're just entering in a draw. But to actually be drawn from it, you got to be in our YouTube chat, in the chat box. On Monday evening, we're going to do a draw for this randomly throughout the show. If you get it, If we draw your name, you have 1 minute to say it's me, and then you get it. If not, we'll just keep drawing until somebody gets it. So it's advantageous for you, A, to join our Discord, and B, be there for Monday night, because this Sats card loaded up with Bitcoin can be yours.
Going to be sick. Big shout out again to Len and Wayfaring for carrying the torch on Monday night. It was a great show. Hope you guys enjoyed that. And until next Monday here on the CBP, take care of yourselves and be well.
And don't be a cuck.
Great job.